This is the son of PCJ.
On shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet, this is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome once again to an edition, that is, of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio. As always, it's very nice to have you with me for the next little while. Actually, today, which the first transmission of this program is February the 9th, is a rather big day here in Taiwan. It is actually the start of the Chinese New Year. In fact, February 9th is Chinese New Year's Eve. We are now going to be going into the Year of the Snake. So any of those of you born in the Year of the Snake, congratulations and happy birthday. It's a rather big holiday, I have to tell you. Everything basically comes almost to a standstill for approximately 9 days. Almost 9 days. Most stuff will be closed for the next few days. And then, of course, they'll start reopening Tuesday, Wednesday next week, limited scale. But there are some places where everything becomes a ghost town, and some places in Asia. I remember when I was living in Beijing, and every Chinese New Year, Beijing was literally a ghost town. It was probably the best time to actually view the city, as there weren't crowds of people anywhere. When I was in Beijing, I was told that, you know, Beijing's population is around 17 to 18 million people. During Chinese New Year, that would drop to 9 million. Made a big difference, an absolutely huge difference. In Taiwan, it's a little bit different, though. It's not, you don't see that big drop in population. But things are closed, but things actually get busier. Now, yes, it's true, there are some parts of Taipei that do become ghost towns. But a lot of people see it at a time, well, to go to the movies, hang out with friends, go to coffee shops, go to restaurants. So it's a commerce time, a really big commerce time. A lot of fun as well, I have to say. Anyway, very nice to have you with me for the next little while. Coming up today, we're going to be bringing you part 4 of a series that we've been running on the history of Radio Netherlands, and that's a little later on in the program. But first, we're going to begin with a little bit of music from a performer from France. His name is Thierry Robin. He plays the flamenco guitar, and here he is playing a wonderful piece called L'amour s'envole. Thank you.
je suis l'étranger qui te demande. Mon sang princesse est comme la nuit. Ton amour est une fleur d'amande. Que ton âme soit blanche ou noire, elle me séduit. Ton amour est une fleur d'amande. Aïe, aïe, aïe. Connaît le cœur de l'homme. Le roi s'est trompé, le peuple a chaud. Le gitan connaît le cœur de l'homme. La plume dure plus longtemps que le marteau. Au cœur de la nuit, je m'abandonne. Aïe, aïe, aïe. Tes yeux, l'amour s'envole. Au fond de tes yeux, l'amour est nu. Le vin est le vin, miroir de l'homme. Petite bouche de rose ouverte dans la nuit. Aïe, derrière tes yeux, l'amour s'envole. Aïe, aïe, aïe.
Beginning today's edition of Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. And as always, of course, it's very nice to have you with me. Next month, by the way, we have a very special program that's going to take place, and that is going to be my fourth year anniversary of hosting this program. What do we have planned? I really don't know yet. I think the only thing you can do is actually, you know, tune in on that date and find out. I sort of want to keep it as a surprise. But I do want to tell you about something that's coming up next week on the 16th of February. On the 16th of February, between 16 and 18 hours UTC, we're going to be conducting a test of our 2 1-kilowatt transmitters. The test will be directed to China. And the frequency for one of them is going to be 12150 kilohertz. That's 12150 kilohertz directed to Southeast China. And that's going to be between 16 and 18 hours UTC. As of the recording of this program, the other frequency has not been announced yet because we're trying to find a good space on the spectrum. Now, as you probably realized, with 12150, that's out of band, and we are going to be using out of band frequencies for our 1 kilowatt and 5 kilowatt transmitters. The 5 is not ready yet, nor is the 20, but we have the 2 ones that are ready to go. So we're going to be conducting tests on February 16th between 16 and 18 hours UTC. If you want more information and to keep up to date, in case we make a frequency change, you can always find that information at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. So do go and check it out. Time now for more music. Let's take a listen to Mel Torme from an album that he did way back in the late 60s. It's not a jazz album. No, far from it. It's a more of a pop record, actually. The album is called Right Now, and here he is singing a song that he had a hit with a few years before. He re-recorded it for this album. The song is called Coming Home Baby, Mel Torme.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay. I'm coming home now.
Come on home.
Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm waiting here for you.
Coming home now, real soon.
You've been gone.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I'm coming home, I know I'm overdue.
Since you went away.
Expect me any day now, real soon. Coming home now. I'm coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm praying every night.
And everything is gonna be fine.
So come home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
I want to feel your homie tight.
Expect to see me now anytime.
When I'm in your arms.
When you're in my arms, I'll be fine. Hey, I'm coming home. Say I'm coming home.
Something's wrong.
I'm guessing I'm baby now.
Didn't even write a poem.
I'm coming home and never more to roam.
Baby, tell me you're
baby, I'm for sure coming home. Coming home now. I'm coming home. Do you hear me, baby? I'm on my way home, pretty baby. I've been working long on the chain gang. Hear the beat. Of dancing feet on the avenue I'm taking you to. That's the name of our street. I'm coming home to our street. On the street where you live. I'm coming home, home.
Yes, the one and only Mel Torme. I'm coming home from the album Right Now, released in 1967, which features some well-known pop songs of the day, like Homeward Bound, Walk On By, If I Had a Hammer, Strangers in the Night, Pink Flamingo, Red Rubber Ball, and my favorite, yes, Secret Agent Man. Yes, very odd, I have to say, just plain odd. We now continue the program with part four of that special part series that looked at Radio Netherlands' 50th anniversary a number of years ago, that was produced and presented by Pete Myers. As you know, we've been running these leading it up to the month of March for when I celebrate my fourth year anniversary, holding the microphone, holding the chair, but hosting this program, in fact. So, without further adieu, yes, adieu, goodbye, so long, I don't know. We now bring you part four.
Remember, la 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 It's often said that if you can remember the 60s, you weren't there. In retrospect, there's an element of truth to that witticism, as the decade moved at a dizzying speed, bringing about historical, social, and political changes. And is signposted by a seemingly endless series of events, impossible to condense in our limited time frame. So, the 60s comes to you in two parts, as reflected by material from our archive. And if you truly weren't there, or can't remember, well, sit back and tune in. I'll turn on, and this time round, nobody gets to drop out.
Sunday, 14th of June, 1942. On Friday, June the 12th, I woke up at 6 o'clock, and no wonder. It was my birthday, but of course I wasn't allowed to get up at that hour. So I had to control my curiosity until a quarter to seven. Then I could bear it no longer and went to the dining room, where I received a warm welcome from Morcha, the cat.
From the opening page of one of the most celebrated and influential books of the century, The Diary of Anne Frank. Less than a month after that entry, the young Jewish girl, her family and friends, moved to an attic in a house on Amsterdam's Prinsengracht. It was to be their hidden sanctuary for 2 years before they were discovered and deported to Nazi concentration camps, where all, with the exception of Anne's father, Otto Frank, perished. On publication after the war, the diary became an instant bestseller, and the house began attracting tourists. So large were the numbers that it was decided to turn the house into a museum. After refurbishing, the Anne Frank House was opened on May the 3rd, 1960. Its initial purpose was to serve as a constant reminder of what fascism can do. At that opening, Otto Frank spoke to Radio Netherlands and spelled out his hopes of what the museum could also symbolize in the future.
You see, for me, it is a very emotional day, but a very important day too. It is the first step which is made. The Anne Frank House is ready, more or less, so that the work which should go out from it can start. The house is the base, but the work has to be done by the International Youth Center, which will do everything to further the Anne Frank ideals, the Anne Frank, what really Anne wanted, to help, to work for peace, for tolerance, for understanding. And that is the main thing which we still have to do.
Mission accomplished. The Anne Frank House is now a foundation and a leading light in the ongoing battle against intolerance, racism, and injustice. If I remember rightly, all Anne wanted was to be as famous as her hero, Greta Garbo. She had no idea that her diary would transform her into something even greater, an eternal legend. Now, by coincidence, a fortnight after that house opened, the Israeli government announced that it had captured Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann, kidnapped in Argentina. Eichmann was the mastermind behind the Final Solution and responsible for the extermination of millions of Jews. After a long and sensational trial, he was hanged 2 years later. That same year, 1960, David Ben-Gurion, Israel's prime minister, visited the Netherlands and was confronted by this question by our reporter.
Now, sir, you've never yet visited Western Germany. If you ever had the opportunity of visiting it, would you do so?
I would prefer to meet him somewhere else.
Do you think it's ever possible that Israel and the United Arab Republic will ever come to a mutually acceptable compromise?
Oh, I'm certain of that. I don't know when.
Well, it finally happened in 1978 when Israel and Egypt reached agreement on the signing of a peace treaty, the Camp David Accords. Now, in that first year of the new decade, when Russian leader Nikita Khrushchev constantly hogged the headlines, Kennedy beat Nixon to win the U.S. presidential race, and 17 African nations won their independence, the world was actually preoccupied cheering its athletes at the Rome Olympics, trembling with horror at Hitchcock's Psycho, and dislocating every joint in their body to this dance craze.
Come on, everybody! Clap your hands! Oh, you
and around we go. Chubby Checker's Let's Twist Again, said to be the most successful single of the decade. Now, Chubby's real name is Richard Evans, but thanks to a wise name change and all that natural blubber, he won his place in the history books. By 1960, Radio Netherlands bowed to the inevitable and acknowledged that the new music was here to stay, and even began promoting homegrown rockers in a monthly program called Dutch Rock and Roll. Performers like Pim Maas, known as the Dutch Elvis Presley, the Rocketeers, and Millie Scott did their thing, but they generally did it in the English language. But all of them paled in comparison when an original came along and proved that rock could be sung in the native language. As a result, Peter Koelewijn became Holland's first rock star with this 60s recording that launched his career.
Hey! 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 Kom van dat dak af! Waarschuw niet meer! Nee, 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 van dat dak af! Waarschuw niet meer! Kom van dat dak af! Dat was de laatste keer! Jan en Jansen zijn vrouwen was een koranseres, maar bij gebrekken en touwen kwam ze op het bordes. Het eten werd koud en Jan en Jansen werd heet en in de straat weer klonk zijn kreet.
The title in Dutch, Kom van dat dak af, or Come Down from That Roof, which was one of the endless stream of inane rock recordings from both sides of the Atlantic that thrilled those baby boomers who would rock the White House and 10 Downing Street 3 decades later. In 61, President Kennedy began his 1,000-day reign. The Cuban Bay of Pigs invasion humiliated him, the female contraceptive pill went on sale, and dashing hero of the Soviets, Yuri Gagarin, became the first man in space. And in August of that year, as the Cold War escalated, that hated symbol of divided Europe, the Berlin Wall, went up. In that same month, this organization moved house. You see, after the war, Radio Netherlands had its offices and studios in 4 ancient villas on the Botha-laan, Botha Avenue. But as we expanded and more foreign language services came online, it became clear we needed a modern and more larger, a much larger building that could house the entire network under one roof. In 1957, work began on the new house, situated in a wooded area of Hilversum, and it was spacious, technologically advanced, and designed to last. In fact, I'm broadcasting from one of its studios today. After 4 years, we finally packed our bags, typewriters, coffee mugs, and archived, and moved out of the Botha-laan. Not without a big sigh of nostalgia. For our pioneer broadcasters, that villa was home for 15 years. And to mark the change, we broadcast our last English program from the old house, a documentary entitled Farewell to Past Things. This extract with John van der Steen captures the mood of that moment when we ended one era and began another.
And here we are in the noisiest room of the building. This used to be a balcony, but a roof has been built over it and 3 walls along the sides. And now it's a little room where we find the teletype apparatus and where the news from all over the world comes pouring in day and night. The newsroom is right next door, so that's quite a handy arrangement. Now, I brought you in here because it's such a descriptive example of how overpopulated this building really is, and of the makeshift arrangements Radio Nederland has had to make in order to create more space. I can remember the days, I told you this used to be a balcony, when we used to sit here in the sunshine to eat our sandwiches and drink a cup of coffee or a glass of milk and look at the squirrels jumping from tree to tree in the gardens around here. Very peaceful, as you can imagine. And talking about peace, listen to it now. Oh, well, I think we'd better get out again. The noise will be getting on your nerves, I suppose. It is on mine anyway. By tomorrow morning, this teletype room will also have fallen silent. And who knows, perhaps someday someone may have a wonderful idea and make a balcony out of it.
Which is exactly what the next owner did. Radio Netherlands' new home was one of the most advanced in the world for its time.
Now, to be fully appreciated, it has to be seen from the air, where it looks like a giant airliner with a three-story fuselage and two enormous wings. The tail wings house the newsroom and our state-of-the-art studios. From an architectural perspective, those studios were startling, as van der Steen discovered when he talked to its creator.
Now, as far as I can see, there's no direct connection between radio and architecture. And in talking to the man who created this building, the architect, Mr. Bakema, you wonder, how did he go about it?
With that, what is the most typical thing of a radio building as this is? Well, that is that there are small studios and that there are people who are face-to-face with a microphone and that they try speaking in the microphone to other people they don't see and who are at the other end listening to a loudspeaker. So far, for acoustic reasons, it was necessary to separate a man speaking in a microphone from the open space outside the building. It was a room quite closed off with acoustic material, and when the door was closed behind you, you were alone and you were separated from outside. We tried and we managed to make that every studio is in a way that the man who is speaking to the microphone sees outside how nature is, if there is rain, if there is snow, perhaps there is a rabbit, perhaps there is a bird.
There might even be sunshine, and that, of course, is very nice.
That's very nice, yes, especially in Holland.
You know, in the 2 decades I've been here, I've never seen a rabbit out of the studio window. Probably all got eaten in the early days by the broadcasters as compensation for their low salaries. Anyway, in October 1961... before a distinguished assembly, Queen Juliana officially opened this building.
Vanuit de cockpit van dit vliegtuig wensen deze schone libel een behouden vaart. Met de wens dat ze de Nederlandse boodschap aan rijks- en landgenoten, aan vrienden en vreemden mag overbrengen. Zoals haar bestemming is.
And this is what Her Majesty said. From the cockpit of this aircraft, she said, I wish this beautiful dragonfly Godspeed, in the hope that it will carry the Dutch message to fellow countrymen and friends and people in other countries. For such is its aim. Her Majesty then pressed a button which automatically started by remote control a tape bearing the music which begins every Dutch transmission and the voice of a Dutch announcer officially announcing to his countrymen all over the world that the new station had been opened.
Hier Radio Nederland Wereldomroep in Hilversum. Op woensdag 11 oktober 1961. Een bijzondere dag. Een feestelijke dag. De dag van de feestelijke opening van de nieuwe studio.
With advanced studios, meticulous technicians who fussed over every edit and spacious offices, we began expanding our output and attempting to come to grips with a fast-changing world. And no one could ignore those changes. In the early 60s, America's dominance of the popular music scene began to wane. More and more Europeans began emerging who rivaled American superstars like Elvis Presley, to name one. There was another good-looking guy in Britain who was Europe's flavor of the decade. One of his biggest hits in 62 became an anthem for my generation.
The young ones, darling, we're the young ones. And the young ones shouldn't be afraid to live low while the flame is strong. Cause we may not be the young ones very long. Tomorrow, why wait until tomorrow? Cause tomorrow sometimes never comes. So love me. There's a song to be sung, and the best time is to sing it while we're young.
The indestructible Sir Cliff Richard, just plain Cliff in the old days. You would have heard a lot of music like that in the early 60s on this network. But news and current affairs was not given the priority they enjoy today. The infrastructure to pick up a phone and get a reporter's assessment didn't exist. For one thing, there were few overseas freelance reporters. And when they did file a story, it was inevitably out of date. The scoop or world exclusive was a rarity on Radio Netherlands. But somehow we plodded on and kept a feeble hand on the world's pulse. For example.
Santi Apostoli, Petrus et Paulus, Decorum potestate et autoritate confidimus, ibs intercedant pro nobis Dominum.
Pope John XXIII opening the Second Vatican Council in Rome 1962. Or this.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Martin Luther King's memorable speech on the Civil Rights March on Washington, 1963. If historical events like that were to happen today, we'd have soundbites, interviews, and professional analysis giving the Dutch perspective on it. 30 years ago, well, we settled for less. That viewpoint was expressed by a 3-minute text that followed the news bulletin under the banner Commentary or Spotlight. A far cry from today's newsline. You see, in the 60s, while our share of the shortwave audience was not spectacular, we were noted for steering away from controversy and turning goodwill and cheer into an art form. We had little idea of how to make relevant programs for other cultures than our own. And if anything earth-shattering happened on a Sunday, you can be sure it rarely got a mention on the entire transmission, as that was handed over to aging Eddie Starts and his Happy Station. After 35 years, it was still the number one attraction on the station with the biggest mailbag. Soaring trumpets and pomp from Hollywood's acclaimed epic Ben-Hur, starring Charlton Heston, otherwise known as Ben, Michelangelo, Andrew Jackson, Gordon of Khartoum, and Moses. His entire career seemed to be built on portraying dead people. In 63, the actor visited Holland for the first time for the Dutch premiere of his latest epic, 55 Days in Peking. The proceeds of that night going to a charity for people made homeless by an earthquake in Iran. When he talked to us, he did it from a tour boat on the Amsterdam Canal, and in spite of entreaties from his many, many fans, refused point blank to part the North Sea.
I've given a good many interviews in my time. I think this is the first one I've ever given floating in a canal boat in the middle of a harbor.
Well, I think we're making history. Why have you come to Holland for the premiere?
Well, because Dutch distributors for 55 Days at Peking have organized the opening of the film as a benefit for the Dusaj Action project, which is headed by Princess Beatrix.
Well, that's very interesting. You came over specially for this, in short.
Yes, indeed.
And what did he think of Amsterdam?
Well, I think it's one of the most beautiful little cities I've ever seen. Perhaps it's because they thought of such a unique way to show it to me from a boat along the beautiful canals with the linden trees arching over it. But I must say, it's a charming introduction to the city of Amsterdam, and I look forward to a delightful experience the rest of this week in the other cities of Holland.
Love me do, oh, love me do.
the record that launched the Beatles, who would dominate pop music for the rest of the decade and turn the spotlight on Britain, which was on the threshold of setting exciting new trends in fashion, cinema, art, and youth culture. It was a marvelous time to be young, as the times they were a-changing, and youth was an asset. More about that in part two of our 60s review. The dream of a united Europe took a giant step forward some years earlier with the setting up of the European Economic Community. But Britain's hopes of joining the club in 63 were dashed when French President Charles de Gaulle blocked Britain's entry, fearing it would reduce French influence in the community. Britain's chief negotiator at the talks was Edward Heath, a future prime minister, and after the rebuff, issued this statement.
At the meeting today here in Brussels, the five countries and the Commission all expressed the view that the negotiations could be brought to a successful conclusion. It is therefore to our very great regret that the French delegation had to oppose this proposal, and the negotiations have therefore been brought to an end.
The Dutch attitude was expressed by our foreign minister, Dr. Josef Luns.
The Netherlands consider England an essential part of Europe and are of the opinion that we must continue to do all we can in order that Great Britain should join Europe in the common market and in a political arrangement.
Josef Luns, one of this country's most distinguished politicians. When it came to political personalities, one of the most familiar around the globe was the then mayor of West Berlin, later Chancellor of Germany, Willy Brandt. The division of Berlin by its notorious wall outraged millions. But when Brandt attended a meeting of the Socialist International in Amsterdam, he was nonchalant about its presence.
Those who expected that the psychological effects of the wall would result in a moral breakdown in West Berlin, they have been wrong. The fact is that the wall is a terrible burden because it is so much directed against humanity and history, it never can be accepted. But at the same time, West Berlin is a vital city, a large, vital city, in spite of all difficulties. New people have come into the city. Economy is growing. Our position as a cultural center has been strengthened. Insofar, our position, looked upon from a domestic point of view, is not weaker, but stronger compared with what it was 2 years ago.
Willy Brandt, who in July 63 had welcomed President Kennedy to his divided city, and where JFK delivered his famous Berlin speech.
2,000 years ago, the proudest boast was, Civis Romanus sum. Today, in the world of freedom, the proudest boast is, Ich bin ein Berliner.
The thrill of that moment can still raise goose pimples. Kennedy and his elegant wife, Jacqueline, had captured the imagination of the world. They were beautiful, witty, stylish, and above all, young. The Kennedys were not only rich, they were plentiful.
There's Bobby.
And Jackie.
And Jack.
And Mary is more in the back. There's Ethel and Teddy and Pat alone.
Plus Eunice.
And Peter.
And Jean.
And Joe.
And what's his name?
Stephen.
And hold the phone, the one in the army.
One in the army?
Captain, Major.
Sergeant.
That's it.
So many cards in the pack. You want to know how to keep track. Well, one is good-looking and young and rich. Well, one is good-looking and young and rich. The rest are good-looking and young and rich. There isn't a lot that they lack. Not Bobby and Jackie and Jack and Ethel and Ted and Eunice and Pat and Joe and Steve and Peter and Jean and Sars. There's probably dozens of others at large. God knows. And Joe and Rose.
The much-parodied First Family of America, a dynasty in the making. Until November 22nd, 63, when no one was prepared for this, when they turned on their radios and TVs.
Just a few minutes ago, the President of the United States turned from Houston Street onto Elm Street on his way to a scheduled luncheon appearance at the Stemmons Trademark. As the president turned, applause broke out from a sparse crowd on both sides of the street. And as he went by the Texas School Book Depository, headed for the Triple Underpass, there were three loud, reverberating explosions. Nobody moved. Everyone seemed stunned. A few seemed to look around, wondering who has the firecrackers. There are two witnesses who were near the president's car at the time of the explosions who say that shots were fired from which upper window, we do not know. We do not and cannot confirm the reports at this time that the president has been shot.
The definitive moment of the decade, and one that has passed into legend, mythology, and endless speculation. The assassination of America's 35th president plunged the world into shock, disbelief, and grief. From every corner of the globe came tributes, and from the Netherlands, in a special broadcast to the USA, came this condolence by Victor Marijnen, the Prime Minister.
I'm greatly and deeply upset by the sudden horrible news of the murderous attack on John F. Kennedy, President of the United States of America. The American people and the whole world loses in this excellent man a great, democratic, and courageous leader. My feelings of sympathy go out towards his family, his young wife, and little children who have lost a good husband and father. May God give him the eternal rest, a rest which he has not found in this world.
Oh, the day John Kennedy died.
Kennedy may have passed the torch to a new generation, but what they did with it was to have explosive results in the second half of the decade. In part two of our series on the 60s, we'll delve into our archive and discover how Radio Netherlands broadcasters handled the turbulence of rebellion, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
And there we had it. The one and only Pete Myers with part four of our special documentary series looking at the history of Radio Nederland. And next week, in part five, he will continue looking at the 60s era. So do tune in. You're listening to Happy Station from PCJ Radio. Let's now move to a singer who I like very much. His name is Silvio Francesco, and here he is with Liebe ist ein Labyrinth.
Liebe ist ein Labyrinth, keiner weiß, wo sie beginnt, keiner weiß, wo wird sie einmal enden. Liebe ist ein Labyrinth, heute himmelhoch verliebt, morgen jämmerlich betrübt. Die komplizierten Herzensdinge sind das Schwerste, was es gibt. Liebe ist ein Labyrinth, keiner weiß, wo sie beginnt, keiner weiß, wo wird sie einmal enden. Liebe ist ein Labyrinth. Kommst du zum Stell dich ein, morgen sagst du plötzlich nein. Übermorgen, was soll da bloß werden? Ich weiß nicht mehr aus noch ein. Liebe ist
ist ein Labyrinth. Keiner weiß, wo sie beginnt. Keiner weiß, wo wird sie einmal enden. Liebe ist ein Labyrinth. Nun sind wir seit einem Jahr endlich ein verliebtes Paar. Aber sind wir zwei auch noch so glücklich? Immer wieder wird mir klar, Liebe ist ein Labyrinth. Keiner weiß, wo sie beginnt. Keiner weiß, wo wird sie einmal enden. Liebe ist ein Labyrinth. Dein Labyrinth.
Liebe ist ein Labyrinth. Das ist Silvio Francesco. And you're listening, of course, to your program, Happy Station. If you wish to contact us, our email address is, as always, hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. And, of course, we always want to hear from you. You can also contact us through Facebook. Just do a search for PCJ Media, PCJ Radio. You can find all the information, by the way, at our website, pcjmedia.com. Now, I'd like to play the next song. This is going out to, if I can find their name, Phil. Phil, who listens to us in Laos. And he said he would like to hear Sweet Dreams by The Eurythmics. So, Phil, going out to you, I think it's actually probably one of the greatest pop songs ever made. Annie Lennox, Dave Stewart, The Eurythmics with Sweet Dreams.
Sweet dreams are made of these.
The Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams. And guess what? We're now finally out of time. Before we go, once again, if you wish to contact us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. So until next time, friends, so long. Au revoir. Auf Wiedersehen. Adios, amigos. And sayonara.